And I'll just tell you that I don't know everything there is to know about prayer. I wish I did. But I'm convinced that it'll probably take us all a lifetime to figure that out. And I don't know if we'll ever get perfect at it, but I don't know that we have to be perfect at it as long as we can learn and come to understand some things about it. When me and Brian and Clint were talking about this class the other night, Brian, I like the question that he asked. He said, are we going to incorporate prayer into this class? That's a great question. And one, I didn't really think about it. It felt like he meant it. And what he's talking about is, are we going to take some time, which every class always starts out with a prayer. I mean, what class have we ever been in that it didn't? I don't think I've ever been in class unless we just forgot to do that. But what we're talking, and we'll do that. Clint's going to lead us in a prayer this morning. But what we're going to do is we're going to spend some time at the end of every class. And I'm going to let the three of us kind of watch for each other and make sure that the bell don't ring and get us before we can get this done. And that is that we want to talk about some things that we want to pray about in here. Not that there are anything special or anything any different than anything else that we pray for, but specifically things that maybe, you know, that maybe you wouldn't want everybody to know about, or that you would, and I'm not talking about you don't have to bury your soul, that's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about just some specific things that we pray about. And we're going to do that at the end of every class. Now, there may be some of you in here who've never led a prayer in a group like this. And that's okay. But if you want to do that, let us know that, because we want you to be able to do that. And that's important for us to be able to do that. We had some folks at the house one time, and I called on a man. He'd been a Christian for a long time. I said, "Will you lead the prayer for us, before we eat supper?" And he went, and I got to think, I've never heard him lead a prayer. He didn't do that kind of thing. He didn't do that kind of thing in front of, 5, 6, 10 people. Then that's okay. That's my fault for calling on and making him uncomfortable like that. That's my fault. I learned from that. But we don't need to be uncomfortable when we talk to God. And we'll talk about that in a few minutes. Today's just going to be an introduction. I'm going to hand a lesson to you out at the end of class. We'll talk about some more on Wednesday night. It's real, real loose in the way that that's going. We're going to talk about a lot of things this quarter. And I'm going to tell you, at the first of the quarter, I have only ever taught two classes before on prayer. Mark asked me to do that when we were talking about when him and I can't remember who was teaching in the auditorium. They were talking about the church. And at the end of the class, he asked me to teach two classes on prayer. And I did that. I studied about prayer a long, long, long time, and I'll tell you when that all started here in a bit. But when we start class this morning, Clint's going to lead us in a prayer. Brian's going to lead us in a prayer at the end of class. So, when we get down, Brian, you keep an eye and you flag me down so you've got enough time to say a prayer. But if there are some things that we want to specifically pray about, let's talk about those things and let's mention those so Brian can do that at the end of class this morning. Can we do that? Can we be in agreement with that? Okay. Clint, if you'll begin our class this morning with a prayer.
Let's bow. Our Lord God and Father in heaven, we're thankful so much, Lord, for another beautiful day that we've been blessed with this morning, Lord. We're thankful so much for the opportunity to gather here to study your word, Lord. We're thankful so much for your word. We're thankful for each and every one here and families represented, and we're thankful for the willingness and desire to be about your business this morning, Father. We're thankful for our health. We're thankful for the safety you've granted us, and we pray that you continue to be with us as we go through our day, Lord. We're mindful at this time of day as we begin this new quarter, as we begin this class specifically on prayer, that we, as Brad's already mentioned, we don't know enough about it, and we don't know everything there is to know about it, and we just pray that we will have open hearts and minds as we look to your word, to look to the examples that are given to us on how to pray, and we see the examples of prayers that other people have prayed that are recorded for us. We pray that we will pay attention to those things, Father, and we pray that unlike so many times, that we will actually remember the things that we study and implement them, and not just do it for a week or a month, but continue each and every day, Lord, living the way that you want us to live and growing closer to you. And we know that we grow closer to you by communicating with you, Lord. And as we'll talk about later, Lord, we pray that we will allow you to talk to us through your word, and we pray that we will take advantage of this opportunity to talk to you through prayer. Help us to focus again on your word and to learn the things that will help us to communicate with you better, learn the kinds of things that are appropriate to talk to you about, and maybe the things that are inappropriate to talk to you about, and inappropriate types of requests to make. We just pray, Lord, that we will gain as much as we can as we begin this. We pray that you be with Brad, Father, as he introduces this material to us. We pray that you be with Brian and myself as we attempt to lead this class at different times. We pray that we will do so in an effective manner, and that each and everyone here will have something gained from it when it's over. We're thankful, Lord, most of all for your Son, Jesus, that died on the cross for us, and the forgiveness of sins that is afforded to us through that, and most importantly, the hope of heaven if we are found faithful when this life is over. Lord, help us to never take that for granted. Help us to keep that in the forefront of our mind, and help us to be ready, willing, and able to share it with those that are around us that may not have that hope. Be with us through the rest of this hour, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You know, when we're in a class about prayer, you know, sometimes that, and I kid these guys about putting the heat on them because we're in a class on prayer, and make them pray. But we don't need to think about it like that. You know, I used to be a real stickler about anybody that said a prayer in front of the congregation, they need to end that prayer in Jesus' name, and that is so true. But man, it used to really burn me when somebody didn't do that. But I want to tell you, when you are a young man and you're standing in front of the congregation, and you know, Curtis always says that there's only one thing that can go right when you're up there in front of everybody. There's lots of things that can go wrong. And you know what? You can get forgetful, and you can forget to say what you're supposed to say. And those are easy things to do. And I'll tell you, as you get older, that same thing happens. And you forget. You know, I have trouble. I tell Kelly this all the time. I have trouble sometimes remembering the number of trays that go out at the Lord's table. I really struggle with that. And the older I get, the worse that is. You know, he's helpful in his reminding us of that and what to do that. And we can think that that's a trivial thing, but it's not. That helps us all in what we're doing. I hope you'll bear with me this morning, because I want to talk about some things, about some goals that I personally have for the class. If Brian and Clint, if you have something to add to that, please do that. If anyone has, raise your hand, get my attention, and we'll talk about that. I want to tell you, I just wrote down six things, and this it's not exhaustive, but this is what I want us to do in this class. I want us to grow spiritually, first of all. That's what I want us to do. Second thing is I want us to grow in our listening to God. And what I mean by that is not some supernatural kind of, something like that. I'm talking about through His Word, and we know that. That's how we listen to God, is through His Word. We'll talk about that a little bit later today. The third thing is I want us to grow in our comfort as we approach God. You know, when we talk about, and we'll talk about this in a minute too, when we approach God, I think, let me ask this question. I wrote this later in my notes. How many people in here, and I've got to ask you to raise your hands, how many of you in here believe in God? Renee, you're not raising your hand.
I'm right. I was getting there.
I mean, we all do. And we think that's a trivial question. My dad's 83 years old. It was about 5 years ago, a man older than him, been a Christian since the Ark. No. But a long, long time. He came to him and asked him a question. He said, "How do I know that there's really a God?" And he wasn't kidding by that question. He was serious. He had lost his wife, and he was at a difficult time in his life. And he was trying to figure out, how do I know if there's a God? Now, I don't know what that's like. There are people that do know what that's like, but he was trying to figure out, how do I know that there is a God? That's why that matters. The fourth thing, I want us to grow in our assurance in coming to God. I want us to grow in our assurance in coming to God. I also want us to grow, the fifth thing, in our confidence in God. The last thing is, I want us to grow in our work, in our love, in our care for each other. Now, based on those things, I want to ask you some questions. To think about just during this class. Why do you want to study about prayer? Think about that. And you don't have to answer these right now. I want you to think about them as we go through the class. Second question is, what is the best time for you personally to pray? Now, we're going to assume, and I want to tell you, I don't pray near as much as I do. I'll tell you this, I pray a lot more today than I did 10 years ago. I pray a lot more today than I did 15 years ago. I pray a lot more today than I did 6 months ago. In the last six months, I've come to a point in my life where I prayed over an hour at one time. I prayed over 2 hours at one time. I was up to 3 hours at one time. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not telling you that. Don't you dare think that I'm telling you that because that's something special about me, because there is absolutely not something special about me. But I'm going to tell you, when you wake up in the middle of the night, and I know exactly when it was 3 a.m. when I woke up in the middle of the night. And there was nothing else that could be done but that, because I had no control over the situations that were on my mind. That's where we need to get. There's nothing special about praying for an hour, but I'm going to tell you, there is, you know, I used to think, I don't have enough to pray about for 5 minutes. I'm gonna put this young man on the spot. And Brandon, I'm gonna put you on the spot for just a minute. There's something changed in your life in the last just few years, isn't it? And he's walking right now, right? Here's a question, and it's a loaded question, okay? Does that change the way you pray?
It does.
It does. And Nathan, you got that coming. Those things change the way you pray. Other question, what is the dumbest thing you ever remember praying for? I'm going to tell you what mine was. And then you... there can't be anything any dumber than this. Because I remember where I was when this happened. How many of you know where Diddle Reno is?
You know what? You don't play basketball.
I remember being in the ball game. Man, I was praying we win. Can you believe that? Isn't that dumb? That's just dumb. Now that wasn't last year. That was a long... that was before I was married. I was really dumb. I'm still dumb, but I was really dumb back then. So think about that. What's the dumbest thing you've ever prayed for? And here's what I would say to that. God don't care. That's probably not the right grammar. He don't care who wins the ball game. We need to think about that. This is a loaded question. When is a good time to pray? Think about that. What are some things that we should or we could pray for? Now, there's not enough boards in this room to list all the things that we need to pray for. But think about those questions as we go through this class. When we talk about the introduction to a prayer class, what we're about to begin is really, and it's not because the three of us are just, we're just 33 1/3% partakers in the direction of this class. That's the only thing that we're doing. But we're fixing to begin a study that's so great. I want us at the end of this class, I want us to realize the power. We don't have to wait till the end of the class, but as we're going through the class, I want us to realize the power of prayer. I'm talking about real biblical prayer. It's my prayer that in these few short weeks that we'll have together, they'll inspire us more, and they'll touch us so that our hearts are going to thrill at what we're going to learn together. We've got to learn the greatest gift of power that God has ever given us. We've got to do that. In James, the 5th chapter, verse 16. James, the 5th chapter, and verse 16. The New American Standard says, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much." Now, that doesn't sound exactly right to me, because this is how I remember that verse reading. In the King James, it says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed." This is the part that I remember. "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man does what?
Avails
much." Now, those are words we don't use very much. I never use the word avail. Keith, I bet you hadn't used the word avail 6 months.
Probably longer than that.
I mean, we don't use those kind of things. We don't use that kind of language. But availeth much is a big deal. That's a big thing. But I want you to listen. I use Williams' translation of the New Testament a lot. And I want you to listen to how sharp it is. He was a master at the language. It says, in that same verse, it says, "So practice confessing your sins to one another and praying for one another." That's pretty simple to understand. We understand that part. "That you may be cured." We understand that. But listen to this part. It says, "An upright man's prayer, when it keeps at work, is very powerful." That's pretty sharp there. That's so simple I can understand that. You see, the quality of our prayer life overall really needs to be improved. Now, I'm not trying to indict us. That's why this study, and that's because it's because of Jesus and his suffering and his agonizing death on the cross. That's why this is possible. That's why we have the opportunity to approach God in prayer. So when we talk about praying for spiritual growth, we want to define what prayer is. Well, I wrote it on the board. Somebody in here has got to have the answer to it. What is prayer? Now, while you're thinking about that, I want to talk about something. While you think about that, be ready to answer when we get through this minute. First of all, there is a prerequisite, and I'm going to just tell you that's too big a word for me. There is a prerequisite for this study on prayer. Well, my first question is, what on earth is a prerequisite? Well, Clint, you've gone overseas, and there's a prerequisite for you being able to do that before. Now, what are those things? Aren't there some things, some hoops you have to jump through before that? What are they? Like,
I have a passport.
A passport.
Maybe a visa.
Maybe a visa. You have to get some shots and stuff. Yeah. I'm going to stay away from you. Shots for things. But those are prerequisites before you can travel. I'm going to tell you something. There's a I can't even say the word. There is a prerequisite beforehand. Well, what does anybody know what the prerequisite might possibly be before we study about prayer? Anybody have an idea? Anyone? It's not a trick question. What might it be?
You have to be deemed righteous in the eyes of God.
You have to be what?
Deemed righteous in the eyes of God.
You have to be deemed righteous in the eyes of God. Yes, that's true. That's true. Anybody else?
We might want to know what it is.
We might want to know what it is. Oh, we're getting there, Gary. How are we going to do that? How are we going to know? How do we? What source do we have to go to know what it is?
Believe God's here.
The what?
Believe God. God is hearing our prayers.
Believe God is hearing our prayers. How are we going to know that?
The Word of God.
The what? Who said
that?
The Word
of God.
The Word of God. You realize it's the Word of God. So by us carrying it, you know, there's some here. If somebody forgot about it, by just I got the word of God. I'm ready to pray. Is this how we are? I mean, that's we're ready. What do we got to do to it?
Got to read it.
What?
Got to read it.
We got to read it. We got to read it. It was in this very classroom. It's been a long, long time ago. A young man raised his hand when I was harping on reading the Bible. And he told me in class, he said, we're past that. We're past that. And you can imagine, I about came unglued up here. Because let me tell you something, I don't care how old you get, you will never be past reading your Bible. You go ask Earl Willis if he's past reading his Bible. If Earl was alive, you could ask him. And I'm going to tell you, I thought that way before too. But I thought that falsely. We'll never. That's the prerequisite, is we've got to read our Bibles. In Acts 17 chapter, I'm going to read you verses for you. In Acts 17 chapter, verse 10 and 11, verses we know. Verse 10 and 11. It says, and the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness. Notice what it says here. Examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. The King James Version uses the word searched. They searched the scriptures daily. What that meant is, those noble Bereans, and that's who they were, they had open hearts, but they also had open Bibles. And they weren't just open, laying on the coffee table. They weren't pressing funeral flowers like my grandmother did years ago in a big Bible that laid on her coffee table. That's not what they were doing. They were studying. So our prerequisite is that we need to read our Bible. Well, and I've heard people say this before too, and I don't know. I want to hear. There's a part of me that understands it and a part of me that doesn't. This is, and I wrote this quote down in my notes. I just don't get much out of reading the Bible anymore. I've made statements like that before. But I'm telling you, if you make that statement, then the best thing, this would be my and I've told people this in the last 6 months. If that's your statement, then the best thing you do is go lay the Bible down. Go lay it down right now. But tomorrow, go pick it right back up. And whatever you didn't get much out of, you read that exact same thing again. Just read it again. And if you don't get anything out of it, close it and go lay it down and put it up. And the next day, go back, pick it up, and do it again. And repeat and repeat and repeat. And eventually, you'll get something out of reading your Bible. Now, I'm not talking about reading, I'm not talking about reading through all those genealogies and stuff like that. I'm not talking about that. Those are valuable. They're crucial for us to understand, but I'm not talking about those things. So let's define prayer. What is prayer? What is prayer?
Talking to our
Father. What is?
Realizing that there's a God and He's in control of everything, and we go to Him in prayer for things that we have no control over.
And we have access to that.
Right.
If we're followers of God. If we're in right relationship, Brian talked about our hearts being pure. What else? That's a pretty simple definition. Talking to God. Prayer is not meditation. And by meditation, I'm not meaning, a friend of mine who was a member of the church for many, many years fell away. One of the things that helped him in his progression of falling away, he got into meditation. I'm talking about, the Buddha type meditation, sitting with your legs crossed and your fingers together and, that kind of thing. It took him away from God. That's not what I'm talking about. When we're talking about meditation, we're talking about thinking constant thought about things. Those things are important. Prayer is not just passive reflection of things that have happened. It's not that. Prayer is a direct address to our Heavenly Father, to our Creator. It's our communication. It's communication of our soul to God, the very one that created our soul. Now, I want to tell you, when you think about that, that sounds really heavy. And it is. It is really heavy. It's serious business. Well, I've already asked you the question of how many here believe in God, and we said that we all do. I would have you to think about this, and this really, it came close to me yesterday. I was sitting in the barbershop chair, and there was a young man. I couldn't see him very well because I didn't have my glasses on, but I could hear him talking. Everybody in the whole barbershop could hear him talking. And he was talking to the barber he was talking about God and about going to church and those kind of things. And I thought, and like I say, I could not make out who he was, but I thought I knew who he was. I didn't necessarily know him, but I knew who his dad was. His dad used to be a preacher here in Bowling Green. And this young man, if it's who I thought it was, he was a member of the church. Used to lead singing. He may still, I don't know. The next thing I hear him talking about is how he didn't drink beer on Wednesday night. Wait a minute. That was the same guy that was talking about. He was just talking to the guy about God. And now he's talking about he doesn't drink beer on Wednesday night. Well, he doesn't drink it on Sunday either because he goes to church. But he does the other days of the week. We have a direct line to God Almighty if our hearts are pure and if we're following His Word. By us saying that, hey, we believe, I believe in God. Okay, but are we acting like we do? Do our thoughts and our actions, do those things coincide with what we say? You know, sometimes, and I fear that the devil can keep us busy. We can be busy about the Lord's work. We can be busy doing good things and doing all this stuff. And we'll leave out some stuff. Like if the devil can keep us busy. And you know, sometimes as a brotherhood, we're bad about preachers demanding so much of them that they don't have time to do stuff that they need to do, like study, pray, read their Bible, and things of that nature. We want to keep them so busy. We can do that. And we can do that as Christians. We can be so busy doing things for other folks, or we can be so involved in teaching classes. And I'm not saying you shouldn't do all those things. Those are all necessary. But there are some things that you cannot leave out. There are some things, see, that the devil will keep us busy and think we're doing something. And we'll think we're doing stuff for God and we're leaving out. You know what? I didn't have time to pray. I didn't have time to read my Bible. I didn't have time to study. I didn't have time to do any of those things. Those are necessities that we have to do. And unfortunately, time is the only thing that we have to choose to do that rather than other things. That there's no way around that. There's no shortcut to that. What we have to remember is, And there are plenty of folks up on the hill that know more about the Bible than anybody probably in this building except Curtis. I mean, if you had a religious discussion with them, they're going to eat your lunch. You're going to get squashed because they know what the Scriptures say. They know how to teach it. They don't live it. They're like the guy that he doesn't drink beer on Wednesday and Sunday. We have to take time to read the Bible. We have to take time to pray. And we have to take time to study. Some people say, well, you know, I don't have any money. I can't buy a Bible dictionary. I can't buy concordance or something like that. You know what? There was a young man here that couldn't do that either. And somebody came and said, you know what, I got half the money to buy this for him. Will you provide the other half? And I said, sure. Or can you find somebody? Sure. Sure you can. Sure you can. You know what? You can study the Bible. All you got to have is your Bible. Your Bible and a couple pieces of paper and a pencil. You know what that does? When you start reading and start writing some stuff down, maybe write some words down you want to look at further. That's Bible study. That's the beginning of Bible study. But it takes time. We have to do it. You know, one of the things that we want to do in this class is we want to pray. We talked about that. And we'll do that at the end of each class. You know, there is a song that we sing. It's called Count Your Blessings. I don't remember if we've sung that in a long time. Yeah, everybody know that song, Count Your Blessings, name them one by one. One of the things that we used to do, and I really don't know why we stopped doing it, just because we stopped. But we would at the table at home, we'd go around when the kids were really little. When we do this, and we count our blessings, and we say, you know, well, what are you thankful for today? You know, somebody, and I mean, one of the things, and we all would laugh about this, is, well, and I don't remember if it was Byron or McKinley that would say, I think it was Byron that first said this, he'd go, you're leadership, you know, and we'd all laugh, and you know, but it was when you couldn't think of anything else, you know, it's amazing how sometimes we would sit there and you'd be, you know, there's so many things that I'm blessed for, so many things that I can be thankful for. And Pierre, I can't even list them. Well, when we start talking about praying to God, when we start talking about listing how we've been blessed, when we think about Psalm the 40th chapter and verse 5, it says, many, O Lord my God, are the wonders which thou hast done. The King James uses the word wonderful works that thou hast done. And thy thoughts toward us, there is none to compare with thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they would be too numerous to count. King James used the word numbered there. They would be too numbered to count. That's a lot of blessings. I mean, each one of us, you know, we're all of us in here above ground this morning. That's a blessing. We're all breathing air. That's a blessing. We may think those are trivial things. Those are all blessings. I want you to turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles 29, beginning in verse 10. This is probably, without a doubt, I want you to notice as we read this, it's probably one of the best examples in all of Scripture about thanksgiving and adoration and exaltation. That there has ever been. And as we go throughout this class, I want us to be familiar with these prayers. I want us to get familiar. You know, in the Bible, if you take out the Psalms, which, I mean, the Psalms is just the whole book of prayers anyway, but if we take those out, there's about 650 prayers in the Bible recorded for us. There's at least 450 of those where the answers are recorded for us to those prayers. That's a lot of prayer. That's a lot of stuff going on in there. We don't have time to look at all those, but we have time to look at some. In verse 10 of chapter 29 of 1 Chronicles, it says, so David blessed the Lord in the sight of all the assembly. And David said, blessed art thou, O Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth, thine is the dominion, O Lord. And thou dost exalt thyself as head over all. Both riches and honor come from thee. And thou dost rule over all. In thy hand is power and might. And it lies in thy hand to make great. And so strengthen everyone. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer as generously as this? For all things come from thee, and from thy hand we have given thee. For we are sojourners before thee, and tenants as all of our fathers were, our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there is no hope. O Lord our God, all is abundance that we have provided to build thee a house for thy holy name. It is from thy hand, and all is thine. Since I know, O my God, that thou triest the heart and delightest in uprightness, I, in the integrity of my heart, have willingly offered all these things. So now with joy I have seen thy people, who are present here, make their offerings willingly to thee. O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers preserved. They preserved this forever in the intention of the heart of thy people, and direct their heart to thee, and give to my son Solomon a perfect heart to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do them all, and to build the temple for which I have made provision. Then David said to all the assembly, now bless the Lord your God, and all the assembly bless the Lord, the God of their fathers, and bowed low and did homage to the Lord, to the king. Now, when we read that, and we can learn a prayer, you know, we can learn to do it. We must learn to do it. My question to you would be this: do you want to know God? Do you really want to know God? I mean, really know Him. We can come to know God's mind. How do we know God's mind? We already talked about this. How do we know what's in God's mind? Through His Word. That's the only, we can know that. All we've got to do is read. We can know what's in the mind of God. But we can touch God through faith. I'm not talking about reach out and touch Him like I could touch Brian and shake His hand. I'm not talking about that. But our voice can reach out and touch God. You know, if we don't pray as Christians, we don't have any power. We're powerless. If preachers and teachers don't pray, they have powerless pulpits. I know of an eldership one time that called a preacher in and talked to him and said, "We think you stopped praying." That's pretty serious business, isn't it? To accuse somebody of that, let me tell you something. He was living in sin. And he had stopped praying. He wasn't reading. He wasn't praying. He wasn't doing anything. He wasn't living for God. And he was the preacher. We can't do God's work without involving God. You know, when we talk about doing personal work, or, you know, when we talk about, oh, I wish I had an opportunity to teach somebody. I'll tell you something. Start praying about that. Start making that your daily prayer. You know, I wish I could run into somebody that I could talk to about the gospel. And then pay attention to what happens. You're going to get an opportunity. And you may pass by a few of them. And you'll come in contact with somebody that you work with, go to school with, or that you pass by in the grocery store. And you think after they're gone, they may just ask you to go to church anywhere. Man, I missed that opportunity. But look for the next one. You'll get it. That they'll come to you if you pray about that. Somebody once said that where there is great faith, there is much prayer. And where there is little faith, there is little prayer. Prayer really could just be the barometer of our faith. And as we're going to come to see when we study about prayer, I want us to reflect on ourselves. Sometimes, you know, we miss an answer to prayer. And one thing it just drives me crazy if somebody say, well, you know, God answered our prayers. God answers all of our prayers. We'll talk about that through this quarter. God answers all of our prayers. What we mean by that when we say, well, God didn't answer this prayer. Well, He didn't answer it the way we wanted it answered. You know, when I think about that, I think about so many people who were asking God, oh man, I want to marry this person, I want to marry this person, and somehow none of that didn't work out. 10 or 15 years down the road, they're so thankful they didn't get married to that person. So thankful. That prayer was answered. It just wasn't answered the way they wanted it. That's what we have to think about. Yes, Brian.
About time.
All right. And we'll pick up there on Wednesday night. What are some things that Brian's going to lead us in a prayer as we close our class? What are some things that we want to pray about in this life? Anyone?
New converts.
New converts.
Okay.
Anybody? You don't have to be shy.
Everybody probably knows that Jennifer and I recently became grandparents, and Andrew and Cassie have been coming pretty consistently since Rayleigh was born, and that's something that they've both been baptized, but they haven't been faithful, and we've been praying about for a long, long time, and it's really on our minds, and we're thankful that they're coming, and we would love to have you guys all. They'll be here this morning if you guys want to meet them, and just keep praying that they keep coming, that they are encouraged by what they, the people they meet here and what they hear.
Lead us in prayer, Brian.
Our Father in heaven, we're thankful that we have this opportunity to address you, to bring our concerns before you, and I pray that in this class that we do reach out to each other, to know each other more personally, to understand each other's needs, and address those together to you. And we do know, God, that you answer our prayers, that you hear our prayers, and I pray that everyone in this room is living their life in a way that their prayers are heard by you. I pray that, as Ethan suggested, that we are reaching out to the new converts in this congregation and encouraging them, as well as each of us making our best effort to live in this community and to meet people that we can have conversations about you with, and encourage people to attend here and have Bible studies and to grow the boundaries of your kingdom. I pray this morning that that Andrew and Cassie will be here, and that I pray that your word will sink into their hearts and they'll understand the importance of putting you first in their life and raising Riley to know you. I pray that the people that they meet here will have an influence on them, and that they'll create friendships here and want to put you first in their life. Everyone in this room, God, has different individual needs and concerns, and I pray that as we progress through this class that we bring them to the front to address to you, and that each person here, that you're answering their prayers the way that you know is best for us. And I pray that we always acknowledge your Son and his willingness to live a life here that was sinless in the face of people that didn't care, that he came to this earth to sacrifice his life, that mistreated him, mocked him, spat on him, beat him, when he gave them the very life that they had. And I pray, God, that we respect him in every avenue of our life, and that we reflect on his sacrifice, and we read your word and understand it. And I pray that you give us wisdom and understanding from your word to live in this world but not be of this world. And I pray that you forgive each of us of our sins, and give us an encouraging, positive attitude, and let the joy of your word be evident in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Brad. Take me to the passage. You can read over that for Wednesday evening. And be thinking about some things that we're going to pray about. When we talk about new current converts, and you mentioned Alec, I'm very concerned about him because I haven't been able to make contact with him in the last week.
I have a convert.
I do too, but there's no response. So he expressed to me the concern of his mother and family over the fact that he had been baptized, and how he was going to address that with them, and he had much concern over that. So I'm concerned about him for that. But there are so many things, I mean, there are so many different aspects of prayer. And we're going to probably do just a flyover view of all that when we get to the end. There's very few times over the years that we really have just a real study about prayer. I think we've done that one time, maybe the last 10 years. And hopefully this will help us. If you want some extra, something extra to look at that would help you in that, Homer Haley has an excellent book called Prayer and Providence. I would suggest you get that book. There's probably no book any better than that to help you understand prayer. But do not stop reading your Bible. And if you aren't, just do better as well. Thank you.
Well, I guess it's not to me.
God.